welcome you back to lesson number 13, the final lesson for this quarter. It is titled, From Dust to Stars. We give thanks to God for Pastor Melky, who has worked so hard to present these lectures for us each week. Now, Father, we call upon you one more time to come and teach us through your Holy Spirit. Help us to understand and to put into practice the things we've learnt this quarter. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hello, brothers and sisters. Thank you once again for your time. We have come to the final lesson of this first quarter 2020. I thank you so much, sincerely, for all your support. And we tried our level best to explain the book of Daniel. When we think about the 11th chapter, there are so many things that we have to explain, but we have to abide with the book as well. So if there is any question, or if you need any information about the 11th chapter or any other prophecy that you didn't find in the book, or still if you have any questions, you can 100% feel free to contact us, and we will be able to take a study or explain you or answer you. Okay, so we try our level best to support to acquire the knowledge of Jesus Christ from the book of Daniel. All right, so please keep this in your mind, and please feel free to share your comments, and if there is any questions, please do so. Lesson 13, first quarter 2020, the title is From Dust to Stars. Okay, From Dust to Stars. Memory verse found in Daniel chapter 12, verse 3. So we have come to the last chapter of the book of Daniel, or book of Daniel. This chapter, when I personally read, it gave me a great hope that even during the waiting time, God is with us and he helps us. So we praise the Lord. In this quarter, we have found new understandings of the scripture in book of Daniel. And today we are going to conclude this book with 12th chapter, a chapter of hope. The book of Daniel begins with Nebuchadnezzar, conquered Jerusalem. At the same time, book of Daniel concludes that Michael stands for his people and delivers from the end time Babylon. The book of Daniel begins with defeat, but ends with ultimate victory. So I praise the Lord for the 12th chapter, which concludes a part of the great controversy, which will explain the climax of the great controversy in our time. So I treat this book, or the book of Daniel, is the book of hope, is the book of encouragements, and book of victory. So whenever you think about book of Daniel, you don't have to think about prophecy only. You don't have to think about stories only. But above all, you have to think that this book is the book of hope. This book is the book of encouragements. And this book is the book of victory. When we pass through troubles, when we lose our loved ones, we have to remember Michael will stand. Let's see the 12th chapter with few questions. Question number one, why should Michael stand up? What is the hope for the last days? Why Michael, or why Jesus has to stand up? You know, I have one or two things and you can add. Number one, sanctuary was contaminated. Okay, when you read the work of the little horn, the activities of little horn, the contamination by the little horn for the sanctuary, for the daily sacrifice, for the holy covenant. Okay, the sanctuary is completely contaminated and God cannot sit. And therefore, Jesus has to stand to bring to an end for this little horn. Okay, so sanctuary was contaminated. That's why Michael has to stand up. And the second suggestion for you to think, God's truth is trampled. God's truth is trampled. We see in the rest of the books that God's truth, God's word, were trampled in the foot of the little horn. And number three, God's people are troubled and targeted. Okay, you can see in Daniel chapter 7 verse 25, okay, he persecuted the people of Most High. He changed laws and times. He brought so many changes in God's commandments. He changed the Sabbath. He said the soul will not die. So many things. And Jesus has to stand up. So also when we study why Michael should stand, we also have to understand Michael's kingdom eventually be established for his people. So Michael stands up to give his kingdom to his people. And also, Michael's people are protected eventually after judgment. Okay, so you can think about it, why Michael has to stand up. Right, I would like to read Romans chapter 8, verse 8:34. Very powerful text. Okay, any people can find a great hope in this text. Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 34. It says, who is he who condemns? It is Jesus Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as a sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And Hebrew chapter 7, verse 25. We read Daniel 7, 25. Now we read Daniel 7, 25. You can see the similar things there. Okay, 7, 25, Hebrew. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So now God is there for us. Okay, right. Second question. What are the books that Daniel 12:1 talks about? Okay, let me read Daniel chapter 12, verse 1. At the time of Michael's stand-up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. What is this book? And because it is very important question, because Michael will stand for the people whose names are written in the book. So I need to know what is that book, so that I will try my level best by the help of the Holy Spirit to see my names in that book. In order to understand the meaning of this book, we should keep in mind that the Bible mentions two kinds of heavenly books. One contains the names of those who belong to the Lord and is something designated as the Book of Life. You can read it in Exodus 32:32, Luke 10:20, or Psalms 69:28, or Philippians 4:3, so also Revelation 17:8. There is one book called Book of Life. In addition to the Book of Life, the scripture mentions books containing the records of human deeds. It's a general book, and Bible calls it Book of Remembrance. You can see it in Malachi 3:16. Okay, so these are the books used in the heavenly tribunal to determine every person's commitment to the Lord. So basically, what the book that Daniel 12:1 talks about is the Book of Life. Book of Life. It doesn't say books, but book. Okay, whoever names are written in the book, okay, shall be saved. Yeah. Let me read a text before I go to the next question. Revelation 20:11-12. Okay. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Okay, here is verse 12, talking about Daniel 12:1. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the Book of Life. Okay, so this is the book that Daniel here talking about in 12th chapter. Okay, third question. How would you stand firm during the time of trouble? You know, many people don't realize the effect of the time of trouble. Sometimes we take it for granted. We just think about simply maybe a financial trouble, or but the time of trouble is really dreadful. Okay, it's a step-by-step trouble, step-by-step persecution. Okay, so how would you stand firm during the time of trouble? I would like to read a few texts. Okay, Matthew 24, that Jesus himself says, I would like to start from Jesus Christ. Matthew 24, when Jesus says about the signs of his coming, he says this. Okay, Matthew 24:9. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you and will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Okay, it's the direct attack upon us during the time of trouble. Revelation 13, and I'm reading verse 14, okay, second verse. So the first verse, Jesus says, and the second verse, John through Jesus, he says, Revelation 13:14, and he, which means the little horn or the beast from the sea, speaks here, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. Okay, so the first and the second beast is exercising the power of the first beast. So what he does, he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. What did he do? Telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Okay, it's a terrible time of trouble. So also in Daniel chapter 12 verse 2 says, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Okay, so we already read it in the first verse. Okay, what does it say? "And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time." Okay, so how would you stand firm during such time? You know, the death of our lost loved ones are really disturbing us. You know, in 2020, earlier of 2019, my mother passed away. And many of my friends passed away. So death of our lost loved ones really is disturbing us. So one of the threats of Satan is death. Okay, as we read it in Matthew 24:9, Revelation 13:14-15, and Daniel 12:1, is a terrible event. So how can we encourage people? How can we encourage people based on Daniel 12th chapter? You know, Bible says, even Paul says, death is gain. Okay, death is gain. Okay, we can go to heaven only through death. Okay, death cannot limit the power of the Lord. Okay, because Daniel 12th chapter talks about the resurrection from earth to star. Okay, from dust to stars. Here it says, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake." That's the good news. That's the blessed hope for all of us. So death is gain. And number two, I would like to read John chapter 5. Although there are many texts in the Bible to substantiate the resurrection, but I would like to say this as I like this very much. Okay? John chapter 5 and 28, Jesus himself is speaking. He said, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming, in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice." Okay, so my humble suggestion and encouragement in the name of Jesus, how we have to be content when we lose our lost loved ones. Jesus himself says, the day will come that he will call by name. He will call by my name. He will call by my mom's name. He will call by my dad's name. He will call some of whom you have lost. God will call by names. When Jesus comes in the clouds, he will send his angels to bring forth all his people who are in the grave. The grave will open and God's people will rise for eternity. Okay, when we read in the book, death ruins and ends everything here. But we are offered the promise that death does not hold the last word for faithful believers. Death is a vanquished enemy. When Christ breaks the chains of death and emerges resurrected from the tomb. He deals the fatal blow to death. Now, we can look beyond the temporary reality of death to the ultimate reality of the life we receive from God in Christ. Because Michael stands up, those who belong to him will also stand up. They will rise from the earth of dust to shine like the stars forever and ever. What a wonderful encouragement that we have. Okay, finally, question 4. What are the significance of sealing? When was it unsealed? You know, Daniel, when I read Daniel chapter 12, verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and sealed the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. What is the significance of sealing? You know, Daniel 12:4, when we read it, many think this talks about the scientific inventions. When we read, the knowledge will increase, many shall run and run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. Many people think it is the scientific inventions, scientific knowledge, rocket science, and all those things. But it may be the application of this text, but the actual meaning of the text is not that. Okay, many people think about the awakening of the philosophical expansion. Okay, these are just the application of this text, but the exact meaning of this text is the implementation of the end time prophecies. Okay, so I would like to give you some 3 points regarding Daniel 12:4. Okay, you can read Revelation chapter 5, verse 4 and 7. Okay, probably I think I have to read when this was sealed. This was sealed for the end time. Okay, this was sealed for the end time, because Bible says, "Oh Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." So this prophecy is not for the time of Daniel, but for your time and my time. So when did God open the sealing? Okay, let me take you to Revelation. Revelation, as you know, Revelation chapter 5. Okay, Revelation chapter 5, verses 4 onwards. Or let me read from 1 to 7. "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside on the back, sealed with 7 seals. Okay, so when you talk about the sealing in Daniel 12:4, it was Daniel sealed it with 7 seals. Or God sealed it with 7 seals. So, and we strongly believe the scroll in the 5th chapter, the sealed book, is nothing but the book of Daniel. Okay. So it's a scroll written inside on the book, sealed with 7 seals. "Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it." Okay, so what was sealed by Daniel, even in heaven, nor on earth, even under the earth, nobody was worthy to open or unseal the book. So, verse 4, "So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seals.' And I looked and behold, in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain. It's a past tense. So in other words, the beginning of the unsealing book began on 31 AD when Jesus Christ went back to heaven after the resurrection. Okay, so the lamb as though it had been slain. Okay, let me read chapter 6 verse 1. Now, I saw when the lamb opened one of the seals. So the sixth chapter is the beginning of opening the seal. So when did the book was begin to open? It was 31 AD when Jesus ascended to heaven. When the throne, when the authority, when the kingdom, the everlasting power, the everlasting sovereignty was given back to Jesus Christ, Jesus began to open the book. Let me read chapter 8, verse 1. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Seventh seal. So, when did the book of Daniel completely opened? It completely opened in the eighth chapter, you can see. However, okay, when you come to 10th chapter, you can see the book is completely open. I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand. So when you come to 5th chapter, that book of Daniel or the sealing began to be unsealed. And the 6th chapter 1, the first seal was open, bit by bit. And the 8th chapter, God began to open the 7th seal. But when you come to 10th chapter, the book was, or the 12th chapter sealing was completely opened. So what happened in the 10th chapter? At the end of the 10th chapter, there was a voice again. Let me read it, verse 10 and 11. Then I took the little book, which is the book of Daniel, out of the angel's hand and ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. This purely talks about the greatest disappointment day in 1844, October 22. Okay, the next verse is so powerful. I strongly believe that Seventh-day Adventist Church is the church of prophecy. Okay, the 11th verse says, and he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. And just because of this text, Seventh-day Adventist Church was established by God himself in 1844. Okay, let me read this text again in Daniel chapter 12 verse 4. But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. So the time of the end starts from the cleansing of the sanctuary, from 1844, when the prophecy began to be prophesied again. What a wonderful privilege that we all have. Okay, because of the time, I have to go back to the last question. Perhaps I can read one text from Great Controversy, page 356. Ellen G. White says here, since 1798, the book of Daniel has been unsealed. knowledge of the prophecies has increased, and many have proclaimed the solemn message of the judgment near. I praise the Lord for this. Okay? When you see in Revelation chapter 11, 7 to 11, only after 1798 or 18th century, okay, William Miller began to preach. Bible Society was organized. American Bible Society was established. British Bible Society started. French Revolution started. Atheism came into being. Communism came into being. Skepticism came into being. And it's all started in that time. A great religious awakening established in that period. Because now the prophecy of Daniel is widely open for everybody to see that the end is near. So therefore, I praise the Lord. In 1844, the book was completely opened. And God raised a group of people to prophesy again. And I strongly believe you and me are the part of that group. Let me finish this book of Daniel. How can you describe the waiting time? What do you mean by waiting time? Let me read from 7. Then I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and swear by him who lives forever, that it shall be for the time, times and half a time. And when the power of the holy people has been completed, shattered, all these things shall be finished. Although I heard, I did not understand. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Okay, here is the point. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, and the abomination of a dissolution is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. This is the new time frame coming here. Blessed is who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. But you, go your way till the end, for you shall rest and will race to your inheritance at the end of the days. Which means, God said, Daniel, it is the time for you to die. Wait until the end comes. And when the time comes, you will race. Okay, so today, in the next few minutes, I'm going to explain by God's grace, what is this 1,290 days prophecy, and what is 1,335 days prophecy. Okay, as you know, this prophecy is completely connected with 2,300 days prophecy. Okay, so I don't have blackboard or a flip chart to write it and show you, but however, just I would like to just explain this. For example, 508 AD, something interestingly happened. When Clovis, the king of the Franks, or France, converted to Catholic Church, when? 508 AD. The first king to convert even before Pope came into the throne. So Clovis I made Roman Catholic Church as the national church of France. He gave power to the papacy to Bonn and to encourage the rest of the 10 divided kingdom to support Roman Catholic Church. Thus, 538 AD, first Pope came into the chair and also implemented Sunday law very much. Okay, so 508 is the dated written here as the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of the desolation set up. Okay, so if you just calculate from 508 or 508, so how can I explain without writing and showing you? Okay, right. Let's see first. How can I know that 508 is the beginning of the 1290 days prophecy? If you just minus 1798 with 1290, you will get 508. In other words, Pope was arrested. He lost his power. The same French king, Napoleon, arrested the Pope, and the Pope died in the prison. That is 1798. You minus 1290, you will get 508. So, the interesting part here, in 508, the French king encouraged the last pope to become the first, last bishop of Rome to become the first pope in 538. The French government encouraged the 10 divided kingdom to support and obey the pope. But here is the history. In 1798, the same government, the same French king, Napoleon, now asking his commander to arrest the Pope to put him in the prison. Okay, so this 1290 days prophecy starts from 508 and ends in 1798. So hope you'll understand that now. Okay, so what about 1335? It is just interconnected anyway. Okay, now take 1843 minus 1335. You will find the answer is 508 again. Okay, so as 1290 years or days prophecy started in 508 AD, this 1335 years or waiting time starting from 508 but ends in 1844. Okay, so therefore, from 1844, it is the waiting time of Christ to come. Okay, so what is the waiting time? Okay, it is from 1844 or October 1844. As soon as the voice came to prophesy again, the waiting time started. Now, you and me are not living between the prophetical period, but we are living after the prophetical period, which means there is only one thing to come, and that is the coming of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, what a wonderful waiting. The waiting may be so hard, but there is blessings there. In closing, I would like to read two texts from Proverbs. What is the blessings of waiting? Okay, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 18 says, "There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off." Surely there is hope, and our hope will never be cut off. Proverbs 13, verse 12 says, "Hope or in my Bible, my language Bible says, waiting. So I would like to take that. The waiting deferred makes the heart sick. But when desire comes, it is the tree of life. Sometimes the waiting is always painful. But the desire comes, or when the Messiah comes back, it is like a tree of life. Father in heaven, what a wonderful book is the book of Daniel. It's the book of hope, book of encouragement. Lord, we thank you that you made us to understand the book. Now we are at the time of waiting. Waiting for not the worldly pleasure, but we are waiting for you to come back. Even so, Lord, come. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, my brothers and sisters. Until we meet again with the next quarter. Next quarter is so interesting again. The title of the next quarter is How to Interpret Scripture. We all read Bible, but how we interpret scriptures, how we can understand scripture. Wait for it prayerfully. God bless you.